try that.
It's not as low, is it?
No.
It's a bouncer.
I have to confess, I swapped him in yours when I got in here.
What?
I swapped mine in yours when I got
here. I kind of figured that. Well, you come back from lunch.
Yeah, I need that one. That one's got my
hooks
on. Sorry about that.
I'll give you the next one.
This is just the monthly county fire wardens report.
Never done. I've already tried.
There, yeah, you
go. How do you think the top one?
I'm taking them all home, I think.
All right, I've also got the Harris report. I'll hand it out in a moment. Actually, I'll do it right now. Just come stand.
In order to be brief while I'm handing this out, I'm
trying to take advantage of your time and be as brief as I can be.
Todd's here today to kind of talk about some of the building projects that we're working on with the fire department. So the first portion of the fire warden's report is some of the work that we're doing with Todd. So I will just quickly summarize. We're doing the exterior siding on the fire station. I'll have Todd kind of update where we're at on that.
The advertisement I'll email to Mary this week so that we can get it in the paper next Friday, a week from this Friday. The plan is to open them bids the 22nd meeting, okay. Commission meeting. I'll open them in the morning, then we can come in and get it awarded during that meeting. Okay. It's kind of the tentative plan anyway.
Okay.
And hopefully we receive bids this time.
Yeah, and some good ones.
If you recall, we did this last summer and there wasn't any bids.
Right.
Right.
So is this going to include some of the remodel on the upstairs?
The remodel, we're actually in the mix of that right now. I'm going through some final pricing with the contractor to get them contracts. I was hoping to have them contracts today, but we're not there yet. Okay. As far as the pricing.
So you're going to advertise for opening bids on the 22nd?
For the siding. Yeah. For the interior work, because it's under that threshold, we're just going to do basically T&M with a local contractor. And I think we'll get a nicer project.
So we just have to get bids.
There's just so many moving targets. It's hard to say, here's what we're going to do. We've got to have some flexibility with the contractor to match Shad's needs for that interior work.
Yeah, the timing and the work that has been done. Yeah, just a lot of flexibility because a remodel's different than a new build. We don't know exactly what they're going to get into there. So give them some flexibility to do the work that needs to be done. And then the third thing that we're working on is the new station in Daniel. A month ago or somewhere close to that, Billy and I made a brief presentation on the available options. Billy had an opportunity to meet with YDOT and had a conversation about the second alternative option there at the intersection. Sounds like that's going to take extensive engineering to redesign that intersection and make it a four-way intersection rather than the existing, three-way, based on the cost of just that alone, it really is no longer a feasible option. So, based on that, I feel fully comfortable with moving forward on the 40-acre existing property up there where the road and bridge currently has, and the old shooting range or the old dump and the shooting range and everything's right there. Like that's the most appropriate location. But Todd can fill us in further on what the next steps are. Then I guess.
I visited with a hydrologist. I think one of the first steps is to get a well to make sure that we have water. I'm still concerned about the 100,000 gallon cistern. I mean, we're looking at 83 hours to fill that with what we're expecting to see as far as water quantity. Because Walker's have a well that's just close to the proximity, and it's a 25 gallon a minute well. So you and I need to discuss the best way to fill that cistern and how often. I mean, once it's originally full, I think we're okay, as long as we don't.
So the concern that I've been talking with Todd about is that when I spoke to my counterpart in Fremont County, he's built several of these stations and included the underground cistern that is attached to the well, and there's a flow device meter that says, okay, the cistern's down below a certain point, the well kicks on and automatically fills that cistern back up. From what I understand is when they have a working structure fire and they send their fire trucks back to refill out of that cistern, they frequently will tap it out and draw all the water off. So what I've been talking to Todd about is, you know, what's the magic number here? Is it a 60,000 gallon cistern, or is it a 100,000 gallon cistern, or what's the appropriate size based on an average, you know, structure fire? How many gallons we can flow? And you know, Will help me out here, but when we did the last Pole Creek fire, it was, well,
I want to say it was 110,000.
Yeah, so we track how many loads each tender offloads, and yeah, it was over 100,000 gallons that we flowed water on the last structure fire, and that was, you know, last April. Last big structure fire was last April, and yeah, so I think that's a good benchmark, and then I can go back and look at some of our other records as well, and I think 100,000 is a pretty good consistent number for a large, you know, structure fire. And so I think that would be the goal as a minimum, and then maybe some reserve capacity beyond that. What Todd's talking about is, what if we go past that? You know, what if we spend the entire 100,000? Well, you know, are we going to wait for 3 days to refill that up with no fire protection? So does it make sense to go even larger still? But then, you know, the cost versus the benefit, there's probably a threshold there that we need to discuss, and I don't know the answer to that, but I'd like to look into it a little bit further before we make that decision.
Well, and look at the different locations. Do you have anywhere in Daniel that you can pull from the
Do you
the
have
river?
A dry hydrant anywhere yeah. close?
There's a dry hydrant on the river, right, actually on the bridge as you enter Daniel proper there, I guess. That dry hydrant's been a maintenance problem for us, though, and frequently it has crack fittings or freeze damage or whatever, and we've tried to draw from it and been unsuccessful just because of the maintenance requirements, and plus the sedimentation, the moss buildup, the problems with keeping that thing open. It's certainly not something that I rely on, but we do try it on a regular basis, and when there's problems, then we figure out what the alternative solution is as we need to. So.
Okay.
And then there's also another one at the fish hatchery as well, in the other direction.
Do you have any kind of a cistern at the Daniel right now?
No, there's
yeah,
no.
So anything's going to be an improvement.
Yes, sir.
And like I say, my biggest issue is just how do we fill it, but there again, to take some pressure off the well after the fire is over, maybe Billy takes a tanker and fills it back up. Or something. You know what I'm saying?
Water truck.
Because I'm worried about overworking that well to have it constantly flow for 80 plus hours. That's pretty stressful.
Yeah, it could actually ruin the well if we ran it too long, right? Yeah.
You see what I mean? And the problem with going, and I talked to Shad a little bit, we could go deeper, but the quality of water more than likely will diminish.
If you go deeper, if you're pumping it on a fire?
Well, it wouldn't matter, but then we've got, I mean, because we've got to have quality for the building. There might be a possibility of drilling two wells, but the other side of that, and I talked with Ben Jordan, who's with Weston Engineering. He's my hydrologist that I use to get any data on that water, because Shad's also worried about calcium buildup. He said he's ruined some pumps and stuff in the past where it's collected to the.
Why would water quality decrease the deeper you go?
Just because of the area. Most of the time it's just reversed.
It's just wherever it is, because
right.
That's the exact opposite where I'm at.
Yep.
We were at 165 feet and the water was so hard you had to chew it
yep.
before you could drink it. We went down to 375 and it's the best water you've ever seen in your
really?
Life.
And that's probably, like I say,
it's geographical.
Yep, okay. It is. And it's way above my head. That's why I haven't been.
Gotcha.
It was before my time, but my understanding is when the Kendall Valley Fire Station was built, they drilled a significantly deep well up there. And the problem was they went past good water in order to get more flow. The logic being is fill the tank faster. But when they went so deep, the calcium buildup was significant. What happened was you'd fill the fire truck, and then the calcium buildup would continue in the fire truck. And so they ended up having to drill a second well, from my understanding. But like I said, that was before my time.
Interesting.
And that's right. They had to drill two wells up there. But Kendall Valley notoriously has bad water, too, or no water at all.
Yeah, just because it's out of Kendall doesn't mean it'll be the same one.
Right. And there's just not a lot of data. I think the deepest well out here where we're looking is 270, 75 feet, roughly, somewhere in there. So what's below that?
You don't know without drilling.
You don't know without really testing it. And we could go around, and Ben mentioned that, and actually do water quality. Because some of them down there on the flat, like down at down by them storage units, there's a couple wells down in that area, which would get you in that different aquifer because of the height difference.
Right.
And we could run some samples on that and just do some tests and see if that aquifer is one that we want to get into. But they're only 15 to 20 gallon a minute wells.
Yeah.
So, but is that because of water? Is that because of the way it was developed or just what? You know, so. Anyway, so there's a little research in the well situation.
Do some research on it.
But I would like to actually get a well driller out there this winter, if possible. With your guys' agreeance, we've got basically three well drillers in the area. I would like to just get the specs out to them and have them give us quotes. I mean, I don't think it's probably not enough money to put it in a newspaper and draw people in from out of state. I'd rather just localize it if we can for the type of well that we're looking at. But we can still get all of them to quote us on it.
Yep, that'd be fine.
Because it's the numbers that we're seeing is about $45 a foot for drilling.
Okay. That includes casings. And
that includes everything except for the pumps. The pump setting is not part of it, but we're talking maybe a horse and a half pump is all for the domestic well. So it's not a huge cost.
Would it be something that would be more beneficial to put an industrial strength type pump in it, because if we happen to drain it, and then we've got to fill that thing.
And that's, like I say, and that's what we want to look at, is to see what the best fit is for the long term.
Okay.
I mean, we want to build something that's 20, 30 years out.
Well, yeah. And the best bet might be if we draw that all the way down, we get Billy to come with the water trucks to fill it back up, too.
Yeah. How many gallons in a water truck?
10,000.
5,000, unless it's a tanker, and then it's 10.
10,000 in a tanker?
10,000 in a tanker. So you're talking, if you did 100,000, you'd have to have
10
tankers. City.
Yeah.
And it would freeze.
Let your pump run while you're filling it, too. Go ahead, Tom.
All those tankers have had mag in them.
The 10,000 acre, or all of them, everything.
Mag in them. So, well, they probably got water quality. There's your problem.
Does he not own just a water truck?
You'd have to ask Billy that.
We'll have to ask. My guess is there's got to be a tanker out there that's just water.
Hmm?
There's got to be a tanker out there that's just water, wouldn't you think?
You would think.
We'll ask.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll ask. That's all we can say. Okay. Let's move on.
Any other questions for Todd?
I do have one. And you're not going to like it.
Okay.
So the dry hydrant thing keeps coming up. You know where I stand with that?
I do.
We don't know if they're functional, and you're worried about water quality. There needs to be a maintenance program on those.
I absolutely agree with you.
And that falls under
what department, what category, whose bill. But I know that the liability is going to come back to the county when you go to hook onto them and you can't get water.
So right now what we've got is Billy and I have discussed exactly that. Billy's agreed to maintain and flow and back flush the dry hydrants on an annual basis, and he's taken that on. But he can only access the ones that he has a county easement to and can actually pull up to. There's a couple of dry hydrants on private property that we do not have access to that he will not be able to maintain. And there the responsibility needs to lie with the private property owner to maintain their own, just exactly for that reason. That we have.
Or for that private property owner to give an easement.
Yeah.
One or the other. If they don't want to maintain it, they give the county an easement.
Now, as far as the repairs, we just repaired one recently that they had some damage on it, and I sent Will up there, and we put a new connection and fitting on it just to make sure that the threads worked and everything was good. So if there are any problems with them, Billy's doing the maintenance of backflowing the ones that he can. As we find problems, we repair them, we make sure they're functional. So we do have a plan in place. It's an annual inspection program, and then as needed, whenever we use them, then if we find problems, we correct it.
Okay.
And going back to the standardization question, that also was part of this conversation. There's right now there's 6.5 and there's 4.5, and some are male and some are female. What we ended up doing is the most cost efficient method to solve that problem was the standard to have multiple fittings on our fire trucks rather than fixing every one of the dry hydrants.
Right.
And actually Will's the one that I delegated that to, and he did a great job of figuring out, the 6.5 to 4.5 male to female adapters, and every one of our trucks now has the capacity to pull from every one of those dry hydrants.
And Billy has the fittings to be able to go from the vac to fire threads.
Meetings. Yeah, that wasn't a concern. It was just the concern of the maintenance program and the documentation of that.
So we've definitely had the conversations and addressed that to the best of our ability. And then from this point forward, I've also spoke with the planning and zoning department and asked them that for standardization, all of the dry hydrants from anything in the future need to be standardized with the 6-inch male. Yeah, so, and then as we repair the other ones, and my hope is to phase out the old ones through maintenance and the old smaller 4.5-inch ones and replace them with the 6-inch versions, but only as maintenance requires.
How many of those dry hydrants are on private land that we don't have an easement to?
I'm aware of three of them.
Three. And are the private landowners balking at this, or we just haven't gone down that road?
The conversation I had is that they're more willing to have us provide fire protection for their private property. They're concerned about the liability of protecting their neighbors and providing an easement to protect the neighbors.
Yeah, and that's anyway. Yeah, let's not have that argument.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see the wheels turning. I understand that, but then. Sure. It's their responsibility then to make sure that hydrant works and that it is functional, and if they're worried about their private land.
Yeah. And I don't know the answer to that question. That was before my time. So,
okay.
I think there's a lot of gray area around those hydrants.
Could be.
Yeah. Who installed them?
Well, that's what I'm. It was put out to contractors, and they put them in according to the plans that were wrote up.
The private landowner did?
No, it was, okay, so I'll give you what I know, whether it's facts or not. Jack Doyle helped design most of them that I'm aware of. And then it was bid out. Whoever was awarded the bid put the hydrants in, and the county paid for them.
You're talking about all the hydrants, not the...
Yeah, as far as I know, the county paid for all of them, but I'm not sure of that. Don't know that answer. I'm just telling you what I do know. Yeah. And the ones that I was involved in.
It might have got past the previous commissions if that was done without any type of an agreement. Or
they shouldn't have paid for them without having an easement to get to them. That's
yeah.
Pretty obvious. But
it was my understanding that Jack did a lot of the design and locations.
But well, that's something
that
we need.
Through the fire board also. Wouldn't ever come to you.
Right. That's something we need to revisit then. We need to revisit
those. So, like I said, the gray areas seem to be really prominent there. We need to have some type of an agreement. I mean,
we need to
because
know.
We can't even go onto their land and fill a truck with a on their private dry hydrant unless we have some kind of an agreement or an easement or something. And if none of that exists,
some of the background,
we're liable. Yeah. That's exactly right.
That's why I'm worried about them, is we're liable because the insurance companies are counting on those when they sell insurance.
We're liable if it's on private property and we can't get an easement.
If we don't have an agreement of some type. Yeah, because we can't just drop a fence and run a fire truck in there.
We're also liable with the ones that are on our, that we do have an easement to, and that may not be functional.
Sure. That I understand perfectly. Those need to be made functional. There's no doubt about that. But we need to revisit this private landowner.
The other part of this that came up was, I'm going by recollection, is a lot of these were put in so Billy would have, so he wouldn't have to fill out his annual water permits with the state for a place to pump water for working on his roads. This gave him a lifetime water source. Does that sound proper? No?
Okay.
The dry hydrants were totally done by the fire guys.
Yeah. We need to revisit this. Make us a note to talk with Matt about these agreements.
Sorry, Jonathan.
We need to do that, and we're running a little late on time here, so we better move forward.
I got plenty more information for you, too, so I'll try to be as brief as I can.
Yeah.
Any further questions for Todd while he's up here?
Nope.
I'm good.
Move on.
Thank you, Todd. Merry Christmas, all.
Merry Christmas.
You, Todd. Isn't there a bucket last year?
Yeah, there's a bucket.
Oh. Where's my bucket?
It's in my office. That's enough.
No, that's her bucket. Where's my bucket?
Sorry, Todd.
You want another one?
Yeah. Consider it
done.
Yeah.
Hi.
Huh?
Yeah.
Because we don't get her bucket. No. We need one to share between us.
I was just being honorary. I don't care if it's a bucket.
For sake of brevity, I won't give the whole fire warden's report. It's in front of you, and I'll answer any questions if there are any. One thing I would ask is that I'd encouraged Will to be here for a couple of reasons, but one of them is I think we've got a tremendous amount of success in this year's recruit academy, and I'd ask for Will to be here and just give a brief synopsis of our recruit academy.
So, recruit academy starts January 7th. This will be our largest academy ever. This will be our fifth academy since unification in January 2015. We have 25 new recruits. Mm. All wow. six battalions are represented in the academy. And out of those 25, nine are women.
Nice.
So ML and I did some quick math this morning. And before the class, we were running 10.7 percent women in the department. And with the nine additional, we'll bump it up to 16.5%.
Cool.
So I think it says a lot. The fire services normally, traditionally, everybody looks at it as, you know, the man's game, and it is a stigma of trying to change that and encourage the women, you know, to get involved and join, and we've had huge success with that now. So this is, I think, a huge testament, especially to the women that have completed it and then allowing more, you know, to feel comfortable coming in and taking it and passing it. So most of you have been through the rigorous speech of what it takes to get through this. It's going to take 6 full months for them to get through this. They're going to give up 5 Saturdays plus 2 additional full weekends of 20 hours plus on those full weekends to get through practical training. So, I mean, there's a huge commitment. We tell them, get through the first 6 months, and it's somewhat downhill from there, but it is rigorous to get that initial minimum certification. So,
excellent. Thank you.
Very, very pleased with the result of our recruit academy this year. It's beneficial to bring that up. Anything else you want to answer? Any questions on the fire warden's report?
No, I think we're good. Why don't you go ahead and move on?
How about the radio system report? Would you like me to brief on that, or just?
I think we can read through that ourselves. Is there anything that we need to be aware of?
Everything's progressing. I think last 2 weeks ago, Francesco from Harris was here, and he gave a good synopsis, and nothing different now.
Okay.
Continuing to make good progress. Harris is here this week. We're doing fleet mapping. Myself, Sheriff, and others are in that fleet mapping process, and we're continuing to make good progress.
Terrific.
All right. The remainder of my time, I'd like to revisit the question of the command truck. We were here 2 weeks ago and brought that up. Yeah. I'd ask Will to come up today and be prepared to present that.
So we, after the last meeting, we did seek higher suggestions and went and talked to Billy Pate and got some suggestions on the best way to do this. And basically what you see on your first page is what our recommendation is. 2019 Expedition four-wheel drive, we can get the, it is still a half ton, but adding the max tow to it, we can tow up to 9,300 pounds, and we actually had Highway Patrol come in and weigh the hazmat trailer in Pinedale, and it is the heaviest trailer we have, and it comes in at 8,500. So to get max seating plus the tow capacity, this is the one. We looked at the Chevy Suburban with the half ton now. We were only going to get about 7,000, and in order to put a Suburban on a 3/4 ton, it is now $80,000.
Yo!
I know. I didn't believe them until I saw it online.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
That's what it is. You only had, there's only two bids here, or two quotes from E&L and Fremont Motors. Getty was offered, and they actually pulled out saying that really the only way they could meet the towing capacity was to go to a pickup truck. They said they had no SUVs available that could meet what we were trying to do with the seating and the towing, so they respectfully declined to give us a quote on it.
Okay.
So, and these two came in very close.
E&L did come in at a low bid.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good. Excellent. This is exactly what we needed. Will, thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make the motion that we accept the bid from Frontier Ford E&L on the Command SUV as presented.
Second.
In the amount of?
$42,707. Let's see. Well, that's plus the, and then we got to do the upfitting.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, so.
That one you approved at the last meeting.
That one at the last
one.
Has this one already been approved?
No.
I think we sent him back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Back.
All right. All right. Hold on here. Let me get you a number. $54,913 and $44,000.
$54,913. How much?
$44,000. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the bid for the 2019 Expedition from Frontier Ford in the amount of $54,913.44. Any further discussion?
When do you get it?
Well, they actually want us to order it now because prices will increase in January, and they don't even have any idea what they're going to increase to. So Luann actually suggested trying to get it ordered before the first of the year, and they said 8 to 12 weeks, and then it would go to Colorado for the upfitting.
Okay.
So
2-3 months.
Now, just to clarify, the upfitting, the amount you just gave, the upfitting is through Wireless Advanced, so those will be two separate bills.
Two separate bills. Go ahead, Tom.
If I recall correctly, we already approved the upfitting last meeting.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and include it in this motion. I think just to cover our bases there. Okay. We can't upfit a vehicle we hadn't bought. So even though we approved it.
Approved purchase of the vehicle.
Yeah. So we need to do this still. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Buy us a command vehicle.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, go ahead.
One question. Do we know where we're at on the insurance on Kismet?
This one has 7 feet.
It'll have third row.
I signed the settlement letter yesterday at Senate. So $121,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
$122,000.
We still might be able to work it out.
That'll help, but it sure won't cover it. Right?
I've got.
Which more we had in it?
Well, I mean, but to rebuild, rebuild, we're going to be more than that.
Well, and see, we've got a deductible also. They settled right at about 150. Mm-hmm. So, but the check will be 121.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Awesome.
Thank you, gentlemen. Anything further?
I do have one last thing. I was originally planning to present the new Wildland fire truck 2 weeks ago. I'm prepared to present that now. I've reviewed it with Matt Gaffney, and he'd given some additional verbiage, but I'm ready to release the request for quotations, and I just wanted to make sure the board is aware. I've got them all right here with me. I can review them in depth with you or not, but I am ready to release the
quotation. If you and Matt are comfortable with it, release them.
Okay.
These would be the specs and the written documents.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned last time whether he's going to go with the oversized tires. Is that an option or just a straight-out bid?
So I had a command staff meeting last night. I reviewed that question, whether or not to use the right tool for the right job and whether or not we needed the oversized tires for stability or not. What we decided to go with was to get a small mobile truck on regular dually tires. And so we removed the option out of the request and just went with the standard dually short bed package on a crew cab. Pick up, and then they build a fire package on top of that.
Okay, and you're comfortable with that?
Absolutely.
Very good.
Yeah,
and that should be a significant savings, right?
We looked at the cost benefit last time. It was actually fairly close. The additional cost of the larger tires was made up by having four tires instead of six. And then the manufacturer their bid actually came on the last two trucks. Their bid actually came under their competitor, which was quoted in the dually tire. Last time, and so really the super single option in a lot of ways, yeah, it's an upgrade, but in a lot of ways last time it worked out that we were able to get that for the same cost as the dually option. Now, I don't know what that would be this time, but we chose not to even look at the super single option. We're just strictly going with the dually option this time.
Perfect. Okay. And the commissioners are allowed to use that new command vehicle, right?
Absolutely.
Right, Will, is that right?
You will get when places faster.
Turn the light on
and go to your WCCA meeting. Thanks. Appreciate it. go ahead. You have.
I just want to make sure I'm absolutely clear. So I'm okay to go ahead and release the request for quotation? Do you want to?
Yes.
Sure.
If anybody would like a copy, help yourselves.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Give mine to Mary.
All right, I believe that is all I had for the fire wardens report. Do you want to stick around for
anything else?
Well, should we talk about this contract since we've got Casey here as well?
Yeah. We advertised for a public hearing at 10:30. We better get that done.
Can we do that quick?
Let's do that real quick, and then we'll get.
Do we need to give Shaq some decision on releasing this or not releasing it?
Yeah, I told him to go ahead.
I'm okay. Yeah. I wouldn't know what I'm looking at.
I got the money to pay for it.
Yeah. All right. We're a little behind schedule, but we're ready for our public hearing transfer of funds.
Catching up. I have an explanation of the notice for you guys.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I advertised for a adjustment of the county budget. I normally don't do that this time of year. This would be something that if I were to be here in the spring, we would do in March. But there are a few things that are here that were significant that I felt that we needed to get into the budget to situate it to go forward for the new year, for the new board, for the new clerk. So with that, I have, if you'll look at the explanation that I handed out to you, we have a total transfer of $862,101.69.
And in that, we have $131,599.42 worth of unanticipated revenue that we've received. We have unanticipated revenue that's in relation to fire, which is $240,502.27. I'm moving $40,000 from the landfill reserve, depreciation reserve account, and I'm also moving another $450,000 from the building projects equipment and maintenance account, depreciation reserve account, to fund another to fund the conservation district project that we have. So to go through the places that this money will go, the $40,000 is coming from depreciation reserve for the landfill. That has to do with the recycling repairs that we did, and that's the fire hydrant that we put in over at the recycling center. That wasn't funded in the budget. We authorized that project after the budget was done, and that money needed to be replaced so that it doesn't affect their operating budget. Then, to go through the other items that are there, the courthouse maintenance healthcare building, I budgeted, at that point in time when I did the budget, we had only collected $10,000 in monthly rental from the Rural Healthcare District for the clinics. I have collected since then the $38,666.66, which includes their monthly rent. If you'll recall, your agreement with them is up the end of January, and they've asked to schedule for the first January meeting to discuss a future lease of the clinic properties and the ambulance barns. So that just, like I said, we had $10,000 in anticipated revenue. We've collected this much more than the $10,000. Okay. Courthouse maintenance insurance on buildings, that was just a transfer of some funds that we had in our account just to clean that up. County extension utilities, just to make sure that that money got transferred to that. That's for the, when the people use the barn for their 4-H projects, they pay a flat fee for electrical, and that's what that is. We anticipate that being about $125, and that's what we got. Again, training, that was a refund. Law enforcement maintenance on vehicles, that's an insurance refund. Search and rescue helicopter seasonal contract. Again, this would be something I'd move later on in the year, but that is what we've received from the other counties that we did work for this summer. So that's just money that we receive from counties. It's not from the Search and Rescue Council. That reimbursement comes in the spring. It'll be in May or June. County health prevention, if you'll recall, we worked really hard through the spring and summer on the prevention grant. The prevention grant wasn't awarded or approved until the end of July, first part of August. So the $54,000 that we have, I've put into that account, is the money that we've received so far from that grant, because it's a reimbursable at this point. If we'd have known about that money being out there ahead of budget, I could have budgeted a revenue. But since we're working backwards, that's the money that goes into that account. The $54,000 isn't what we've spent, though we've spent less right than that. So, general fund, the $450,000 for the Conservation District remodel, that number's kind of high, but that has to include the architect. We'll include any other consulting that goes along with that, that pays for Todd, pays for the work. And again, as a remodel, you've always got a little bit of, you get some surprises in there. There's always landmines that you have to budget for. So again, that's money that we will spend. We have control of that account. It isn't $450 to the Conservation District. So, and again, we didn't know what that number was. We took a wild guess last week on what that would be for the project this year, just to get something in there, because I had nothing budgeted for the remodel. General fund, Skyline Rocks, that's just the money that we've received for rocks since the first of the year. I put it in there so it would be there.
That was revenue.
You're right, that's revenue. Revenue.
So yeah. Does that mean that we are all square with Rio Verde? In other words,
what Rio Verde has billed us to, yeah.
And so this is just they're square, they're all paid.
This is the money that I've received from the guys that bought the rocks.
From the contractors.
Very good.
From the contractors. Sure. And it isn't all of the money. We've just recently billed again for November. Mm-hmm. So there'll, I think we're pretty close. I visited with Mark the other day and said, let's make sure we're cleaned up as best we can going into the new year. Okay. With what we've got going on with the rocks, but I think we're pretty close and we'll have that situated. The other numbers are totally related except for the last one, but the next three items are fire warden budget revenues that we've received, and they're all pertain to fight and fire. So the payroll, we've paid the payroll, but this is the reimbursement from whatever agencies those are, usually from the forest,
right,
for those. So we get paid for the payroll. We get paid for any wildland expenses. Apparatus maintenance, that number is what we get for our equipment that's on the fire. That money all goes back into those budget accounts so that we can maintain them. And then the last thing that's on there is fire warden purchase, $15,000. That was the fire truck that we sold on the internet.
Yep. Cool.
Deal that we did. We've got another one that we're still we sold the other truck, and it's $10,000. We haven't got the money yet, and we're gonna get the money. It's like between the culverts and the fire truck, we're gonna get the money. I think we're at the point where we're gonna get an ACH from him, because check's in the mail and the check hasn't shown up yet.
Does he have the truck?
No, we still have the truck.
Okay.
Yeah, we got the truck.
Excellent.
So, anyway, any questions about that? It's kind of a cleanup, but it's also stuff that's like I said, you would probably take care of that in March. Yeah. But there are a couple items there that aren't funded, that are operating unfunded right now. We do have the money to fund those. I just wanted that to be cleaned up.
Excellent. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify this, so the total of all that is $862,000, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But those first two amounts, 131 and the 240, is revenue coming in.
Yeah.
The last two are money we're taking out of depreciation and putting in spending accounts.
That's correct.
That's correct.
So it's not a net increase or decrease to the budget of that amount. That's just a total amount being transferred.
That's right. We're just moving. Yeah, we're just moving money.
Yeah.
We're not increasing or decreasing.
I just want to clarify that, because if you don't look at it that way, it don't make sense.
Right.
Right.
I was going to say, it doesn't. You're looking at revenues, and then you're looking at money that's been put into other accounts. It confuses me.
Right. Yeah, because we're dealing with just a transfer within, and some of it is unanticipated revenue.
Right, I got that.
And other of it is expenditures that she, like Mary said, are being funded right now without having any money in it.
Yeah, with any money behind them.
And this money is not coming from our, I want to say, the cash carryover or our money. This is coming from an account that was set up just for this kind of purpose, whether it be road bridge or whatever. They have extra money. We're transferring it from that account to another account.
A reserve account.
General
a reserve account.
General
it's coming from it's
from
coming from
fund.
Our reserve fund. Accounts. So you have the budget,
mm-hmm.
which is the checkbook.
Right.
And then you have the savings account.
Okay.
That's the depreciation. We're taking money out of our savings account and putting in our checkbook.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But we're not touching the big lump of money that has been put in by commissioners over the years.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
They're all in
reserve. That's the depreciation reserve account.
They're all part of that.
So that comes off of the X number of million dollars that is in that. Okay. Very good.
This is money that was not in our budget.
Okay.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Any further questions for Mary? I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the budget transfer as presented.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the budget transfer in the amount of $862,101.69. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thanks.
8 years of doing that, it's always good to get another explanation again. Thank you.
It's crazy.
34 years of doing that? Is that how
32.
Long? 32 years of doing that. Whew. Bless you, heart. You need something more than a picture.
Actually, 31. There was 1 year we didn't make any transfers. We didn't have to make any transfers.
You didn't make any transfers?
Well, we didn't have any
there
money.
There wasn't any
either.
Money.
There wasn't any money.
It was when the general budget was $700,000.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have to do anything. Yeah.
Okay.
Just quit spending.
Yeah.
We don't have it. Can't spend
it. Exactly. And this is what was money we got.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. What's your question?
This is... This down here is what we're spending the money on. This is where we got
these
the revenue.
Are what
this is where the money's coming from, the right. Top part.
Right.
This is what you're going to spend it on.
That's
yep.
What I said.
Yep. Yep.
Unanticipated revenues.
Yep.
And if you want, you could even say unanticipated expenses.
Yeah.
It's just this looks different than that. I had that's why I was getting confused, because this is the revenues coming in and this is where the revenues are
right.
Going to.
I do that explanation for you so you can see when the unanticipated revenue, you can see where that number goes
good.
To those items.
And this is
and
this
then,
is revenue
yeah.
From fire and this is where it's going.
Right.
Unanticipated revenues and unbudgeted expenses.
Yeah.
Do you have a column for
those are the
unanticipated
two.
Consequences?
No.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. All right, Sheriff, come on up. We can continue on with the discussion that we had that involves fire, if you want to do that.
Sure.
Chad.
Discuss the contract first, please. So as a result of the fire, you all know that our Kismet Tower was destroyed. So in the interim, in order to get communications to the upper Hoback, we had Dave Smith put up a portable tower, so to speak. He currently has a truck up there with a tower in the back of it with three repeaters, one for fire, one for EMS, one for law, and he also had put one up for the school, for the Bondurant school. We had received a charge for services for $2,000 per month for that first month. Was October, or was that for the
yeah,
month of November?
In October.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in doing so, Mary had asked us to work up a contract between Dave and Sublette County going forward on what that price should be. Shad and I did not feel comfortable negotiating that price. We ultimately felt that was the commission's decision. I don't want to speak for Shad, but I think we both feel that $2,000 is an awful lot just for a vehicle which is his. He does have liability on it. However, I don't know. I have nothing to go on for that. I have not talked to Dave on line items on why he's charging that amount per se. But again, we feel that that's something that you should discuss. We did have Matt draw up a contract in it. We have not signed it. However, if that's something you guys want to discuss with him, going forward, that's where we're at.
I think at this point we need some explanation as to what the cost is and why. We need some justification as to this is the going rate for these types of equipment. So we need to have a discussion with Dave before we sign any contract.
Yep. Okay.
And before we move forward. So that needs to be scheduled in January as soon as possible. It's not that I'm disagreeing or anything like that, but I don't agree to pay anybody anything without knowing what I'm getting and what it's costing.
Right.
So let's do that. Let's get Dave scheduled. We'll put this contract on hold, and we'll have the discussion with Dave first. And then I would really like you guys present during that discussion.
So. That's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
So we can draw on a little bit of your knowledge.
Okay.
We'll need our IT guy involved.
Now, let me
guess,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is something we're already doing. We're just now formalizing a contract.
Well, we've got billed. We haven't paid for anything yet.
But we have been provided the
service. We've been provided the service. Yes, we have.
We've paid for October and November. We held up in December.
Okay.
And in defense of the October expense, you know, it
we
was...
We needed communications.
Yeah. It was an emergency situation.
Yeah, we still do.
Right.
You know, but there never was any discussion of a $200 or $2,000 rental of this truck
right.
with anybody. Okay. We didn't have, we needed to have a contract with him to house our equipment. We've got that. Matt's drawn that. But the hang, you know, the commission will contract with Dave for that service. But the discussion is around what's the $2,000.
So, I guess the question I have moving forward is, we're looking at a bill that we've paid at X amount of dollars for October, November, and now all of a sudden in December we're going to question what we've already paid moving forward with the contract, the dollar amount.
Yeah, not necessarily going to question it, but we need to have the explanation of what we're getting and what the cost is for, and then we need to enter into a contract. Should have been done before October.
Well, I understand the circumstances.
It was an emergency.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, we need to have this whole discussion and make it right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to let me, initially, before we had power connected, Dave was traveling up there every other day to refuel his truck and generator just to keep this equipment going. So in the beginning, there was a lot more involved.
Yeah.
Now, since Rocky Mountain was able to hook the power back up, there is at least power with the generator back up.
Okay, go ahead.
Is there any grant money available to us for this type of situation, being that it's those communications and impacted by the fire?
Or insurance money?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know. These are questions that can be asked.
Next month.
At a future date.
But it is a service that
right
we have
that.
To have.
Yes. No,
well,
this
absolutely.
Is critical yes, communications yeah, infrastructure.
No, but I asked that because we did without have insurance. Yeah. I mean, there are grants out there.
And our insurance is
services.
Paying up. So
I would like to echo that. This is a critical need for mission-critical communications
yeah.
in the northern part of the county. And,
right.
and to provide public safety,
yeah.
we need the
absolutely.
Kids on site working. The question is
yeah.
what the cost is.
Not arguing that we need it, not arguing that he's providing it. We just need an agreement.
Just need to justify the cost.
Yeah. So, perfect. Thank you. So we'll do that at a future meeting.
Okay. That sounds good. That's all I have for the contract.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Chad.
Mr. Chairman, you could have said they will do it.
No, I'm going to continue to be in this seat till the 7th.
We means we're going to do it this month.
We are going to do it next month.
For law the sheriff's office, the only information I have is brought back from the WASCOP meeting last week with the Association of Sheriffs, Chiefs of Police. And that's the livestock investigator. We had a good discussion with Steve True, who was the director of the brand inspectors, and also the Joint Ag Committee that was down there. They have hired a interim investigator for the state. However, his role will not be the same as that of the previous Ken Richardson. On taking over the investigations, his main role is just to assist the counties in helping them with the investigations. The Sheriff's Association has taken a stance to try to put this back on the state, and we've already talked to several legislatures. Steve True with the Joint Ag is on board. We've actually proposed the idea and would hope to gain support of the commission in the 23 counties to the possibility of adding positions to the current DCI, which is the Department of Criminal Investigation, to give them 6 positions for the 6 districts across the state of Wyoming to assist in these investigations. Now, this would be only for felony investigations. This is not brand inspections. This is not checkpoints. This is strictly for investigations involving theft, you know, anything that has to do with livestock. It would be no different than what the felony cases that they, you know, help assist with or take over now from each of the individual counties. In doing so, they would also have state jurisdiction, whereas sheriffs, we only have countywide jurisdiction.
That is the one biggest issue.
That's one of the issues, and the second is the crossing state lines to investigate outside of the state, where they have partnerships with the federal agencies that they, you know, they can do that a lot easier than we can, or have more authority, I should say, than what we do right now.
We had a meeting with our legislators at our last meeting, and this was brought up. Commissioner Bousman brought that up and brought up funding help for the counties, because the counties are taking over all this. So,
right,
Albert and Dan Dockstetter and Jim Roscoe, we're all here, and Fred Mogul.
Okay.
We're all here.
I do know that they have a draft bill in place right now, that the Joint Ag Committee, a biennium of $500,000 to assist the counties. We discussed that too, and if that money can be used by DCI, in it would have to be for investigating livestock, crimes.
For felony.
Yes, but that money could be used to help them as well, because biennium $250,000 a year. I mean, one theft could use up all that money, and we've already seen it. So down in Albany County,
really?
300 head of horses. It's trying to find somewhere to house 300 head of horses, to feed 300 head of horses. I mean, that would $250,000 wouldn't go very far.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
My gosh. I got 9. I'll give them.
Mr. Chairman, I'm at our meeting in Casper last week. I'm really surprised this wasn't discussed with the Wyoming County Commissioners Association.
It must not have been on the radar.
So this was
just happened
last week.
Okay, so this will be a big discussion item when we go to Casper in January.
I think it will.
Cheyenne, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And our goal as sheriffs is just to make you aware and know what direction we would like to go.
That's critical. The
yes.
WCCA knows.
Right. I would think it would be important that we have a unified front. Mm-hmm.
It may be good to have somebody from the association there, for example, to explain the role of the sheriffs and recommendations that we can support in terms of legislation.
Right.
I think what needs to happen.
Okay. Very good.
Okay.
Anything else?
No. Any questions over the last two sessions? I know I missed the... I wasn't here for the last one.
All right. I talked to Steve Dunning.
Yes.
And I guess business is booming.
You know, so yesterday, to give you our numbers, 38.
38.
38 in the jail, 43 arrests.
Yeah.
It has not declined. We've actually we have run out of uniforms for the jail. We're giving oversized. I mean, inmates are actually having to hold their pants up because we do not have any more. Yeah. It doesn't. I know we will. Immigration Naturalization Services will come to get one that we've been holding on a detainer. For deportation, we have a few more that will be sent off to the state here shortly. It just seems like our arrest rate has gone up, and I can't say why. The majority of the arrests.
There's no pattern to it.
No, I mean it's arrests that we can't just cite and release for on scene. I mean, these are probation violations, warrants, felony drug possession, delivery, and a lot of our local, we're seeing the same person over and over again. For some reason, the criminal justice system is not rehabilitating them, or it's not getting through to them that they need to show up for court.
It's the good news.
Then that might be it too. I don't know. At least we're using all of our meals.
Yes.
So
yeah, we're buzzing.
No kidding. All right. Anything further for the sheriff, gentlemen?
Nope.
Thank you, Sheriff.
All right. Thank you. You guys too. Merry Christmas as well. Yep. Thanks for all you've done. And
oh, you bet.
Yeah, we'll try to see you on the 28th. So
yeah,
that was good. Thank you. All right, Jim, come on up. Give us an update here.
Have I talked to you since we went to the SLIB State Land Investment Board?
Well, you sent an email.
You talked to us about that round of grant, mid-grant.
Yeah, the...
was awarded by SLIB.
SLIB did award the Hoback Ranches Improvement District $288,000, with $145,000 going towards match for the NRCS grant that came in. That was a big coup for them. You guys working towards, Mr. Chairman and the group working towards the, all the money from the auction went to them. That helped out a bunch. Where I haven't talked to Dave since the SLIB meeting. I think he's been down in Denver. So I know that things are moving forward. The RFP went out for the grant writer, and that will be received the 31st of December and then opened after that. Sir?
Yes.
Just a correction. I think the what was done at the last meeting is the money from the auction will go towards the
gotcha. Thank you for that correction.
There was a conference call last week about the grant writer.
Yeah.
With Homeland Security.
The
Nimitz has been in my office yesterday.
Moving forward. Ish.
I don't know.
That didn't have much. So.
Okay. Any questions?
Anything for
Jim?
Me? That anything concerns or anything I need to take care of for you guys?
My thoughts are we are pretty much at the end of our process. In other words, the information has been passed along to Mr. Nimitz in terms of what he needs to do. And my understanding, I think the county has fulfilled its, not its obligations, but its commitments to try to help Hoback Ranch Improvement District. So what left do we have to do?
I think the, because of the HMPG money comes through, has to pass through the county.
Right.
It would be our responsibility to, or your responsibility to pick the grant writer, and then once that connection's made, I think it progresses from there and work towards that April of 2019's due date for that
Mary,
first
how
grant.
How do you see it?
I think the district's going to get the money direct. I think we're going to be out of it because we've designated them to be our agent.
Right.
The money for the grant writer?
For the FMAG money.
For the FMAG money.
Yeah.
Is that grant writer money coming to us, and then how's that going to work?
I have no idea. In the beginning, it sounded to me like that we just sent them an email and said, send us the money.
That's what it sounded like.
Well, it's not that.
It's not like that.
It's not like that.
Right.
So they've made the request to FEMA, and they're waiting for a response from FEMA. And then we have to have an agreement that's drawn up by the Attorney General.
Yeah.
And so who knows when we'll get that. And
does that supposedly funnel through us, or is that grant money that goes straight to them?
I think the grant writer money is going to go to us.
Okay.
I think. But
we'll
I don't.
See.
Yeah, we'll see.
But the FMAG is what we've agreed to pay the match on, and that's what we're, after that,
mm-hmm.
we're
yeah.
finished with
and
that.
We found out we can't use the landfill.
Right.
Right, the landfill.
Yep.
There's match.
Because it's not, what,
it's not project specific.
Yeah.
So it's on top of what we did for the match.
So
our contribution.
Once we get the grant right here, we get this grant money, it goes direct to the Service and Improvement District. Who oversees the spending of that money as far as what gets spent on the ground? So that's Homeland Security's job. But that's good.
Because we don't want that job.
Well, the other part of it is that it's going to be a reimbursable.
That's right. The money is spent and then reimbursed.
They've.
So we have that job.
They've insinuated that the money comes fast, but the district's going to have some cash flow to be able to do it. So, but they've got all these pots of money. So I don't know.
Well,
okay.
Clear as mud.
As long as we're not in it.
Anytime you're working with any grant,
that's all I know.
Clear as mud.
Well, and the other thing, the grant application needs to include grant management, so that there's somebody doing the reporting that's required for the grant.
Somebody's got to.
And taking care of the financial part, and get that away from the county. The county shouldn't be involved in any of that. The district should be involved in that. That's the beneficiary of it. And they can be the applicant with our blessing. So.
Yeah.
That was my understanding. Other question, Jim. I lost the signal at the tail end of that last conference call when they were talking about whether to have another phone call and when.
I think they pushed that to January.
Well, I know that was a conversation having
yeah.
a month later, whatever. So two questions. Number one, is there a date? And number two, will there be a new Director of Homeland Security for the state by then?
The date I can get you, and,
okay.
and I'll chase that down today and send out an email. The director, I know Guy Cameron mentioned in November that this was his last stint at the Rural Firefighters in Rock Springs. He was telling that was going around. I talked to him in December in Cheyenne, and he said yes, that he was done. How the process to fill that position, I don't know how that's working. I know that the governor-elect has sent out a request for resumes, and you can send recommendations or anything to an email for that position, but how it's going to be filled or what's going to happen, I've not been in that.
I was just asking in regard to an upcoming phone call, because
no.
he was leading the discussion.
Right, and I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of changes, and we'll have to deal with that.
Well, maybe we don't need another phone call.
Just another meeting. Yes, sir.
Was there a call last week?
No.
Yeah,
well,
there was a conference call, yes. When we went that Wednesday that we went to,
yes.
there was
travel.
A call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything further for Jim? Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to another update. Thank you. All right. Matt, did you have something for us this morning?
No, I was just going to take part in old business on the broadband.
Okay.
So that, nothing.
That sounds. I have a question for you for this afternoon's executive session. Can we go into executive session pursuant to both statutes and stay in executive session for the different topics, or do we have to go in and come out and go in and come out?
No, I think just make a motion pursuant to both statutes.
Okay.
I don't see you need to
go okay.
back out. Back in.
Perfect. Thank you. All right. Old business, Mac. Let's start with you.
You know, I really have nothing of what I've shared with you before about going to the meetings. I think Joel will talk a little bit about what he did in his committee reports.
Okay.
So I've already talked what I need to say.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Tom?
So last week we went to the Predator Board meeting, which was interesting. They got a lot of things to discuss.
Yeah,
and other than that, the Joanne was in town with CTC, our broadband advisor, and we met with Visionary, Silver Star, and All West, which were the responders to the RFP. And Joanne was very articulate in narrowing down some commitment in verbal. She's going to get that in writing, hopefully, after the first of the year, and I'd like to get Joanne to come in and give us her final presentation as a whether the project's viable, not, or if she sees a path forward.
Okay. So are you asking, is she asking for an extension then? I mean, because didn't we ask for this by December 31st? Or?
You did, but I think my question to you guys is to be a little understanding on that, because to get a meeting with three providers and set that up and on her time schedule isn't an easy task, and she's had a lot of really heavy lifting through this whole project.
Sure.
So I'm asking, if you guys mind that she reports back to us in January, preferably the second meeting. I know that's up to the new chairman to schedule that. But the problem with that also is she needs some heads up to schedule that plane flights and all that.
Right.
So the meetings with the providers was really, I want to say, promising. They were all very dedicated to the project, seemed engaged and willing to commit. Mm-hmm. As of what she gets in writing from them, we'll see shortly, I'm hoping. And Matt was there, and I would appreciate if Matt would throw in his version of what he took from the meeting.
Sure. I'm glad I attended the meetings. I had a general sense of the project, but after those meetings, I really had a good sense about the complexity and scope and cost, and it's daunting. I won't lie, but I'm very comfortable with the bidding process. I think Joanne is doing as good a job as she can with some pretty big uncertainties floating out there. So we've based on these three meetings, we have put together a list, request for more information from these three vendors, so that Joanne can take that information and give the most informed recommendation to your board on January 22nd. That is kind of the vision and the plan at this point. I know you were expecting it by the 31st, but I do think you'll have much better information in a couple weeks from now based on this request for more information. So,
okay.
I'm glad I sat in on the meetings, and cool. I would urge you guys to be patient, and hopefully by January 22nd, she'll have a very good recommendation for us.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I only have one question. In all of your discussions that you guys had, was there any inkling that after the RFPs were done, that rather than wanting to lease everything that the backbone that they want us to pay for, are they willing to come up with the money? Or are we going to be on January 22nd, are we going to be in the same place? They pay us three times a year instead of once.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
I'm sorry.
So, as you're all aware, this has been a moving target for 2 years.
Tom, could you explain that? Tell me what is moving?
What is moving
the target
is
not the project?
The target is the backbone, how we acquire the backbone through the grants. The grants are always hard to acquire. We don't know what the amount of the grant is we'll get. We know what the amount we're asking for, but that doesn't mean we'll get it. So the target is, let's say, for example, we get $4 million from the grants instead of six. That may change some of the outcome of how much backbone we're able to build. And the moving target is based on three factors: the grant amount, the provider we choose. You remember the third one?
I can't remember.
Anyhow, so it's different than some situations. For example, we didn't go out with an engineering study first. We didn't have a hard fixed target. We've asked Joanne to put this together from.
Well, and you need to help me understand this, okay. And I want to get your input on this, because we started this back in last March. I thought what we put out and what our target was to bring fiber backbone to the county. That was going to come mm-hmm. up from the south end, go through Marlton, Big Pony to Daniel.
So let me stop you there. The target is the backbone, and it is the fiber. The route varies from each provider. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, I think what I'm hearing you trying to say, and correct me if I'm wrong,
sure.
What I'm hearing is because of the response from the RFPs, because of the, it seems like, anticipated less response revenue-wise, the project's going to change, and therefore we're not going to get what our target was originally, which was to provide backbone throughout the entire county.
The target is a backbone with a redundant loop.
Yeah.
How that redundant loop is up to the provider we choose, how they choose to provide that. That's what we asked for in the upcoming letter, is a redundant loop, so we have the goal that we set out for, a solid backbone. For example, if one provider's service I don't know how to, I mean, it's a lot of detail. So one provider, let's say most of their customers are in the north end of the county. They prefer to come in from that route. The other two are possibly from Parson or Lincoln County.
So if we get all three of them, we will accomplish what we set out to do for the entire county. But if we don't, we're going to be cutting short portions of the county. We're not going to be able to go to the county and say, we did this for the entire county?
No. That's,
I'm not understanding.
No, I don't know how to put it into. It's like a spider web. You can take parts out, but it's still got a center. It still comes to us and gets to us. Do you have something?
I was just going to say, I think these are things that probably Joanne could describe, but I think the question at hand today is an extension.
Well, and maybe you're right, Mr. Chairman. That's the primary question at hand, but I want to get a good feel for what it is we're expecting.
What you're going to get.
What we're expecting on January 22nd or whenever we have this meeting. What is it that she's supposed to present to us, which I guess I made the mischoice of words. I didn't think so, but using the term feasibility back in November, I thought that's what she would be coming forward with us, telling us, is this project a go or no go based on the responses that you've had, the evaluation you've had, and the money that's been put in the game. Am I right there?
I think you're going to get that on the 22nd.
Okay.
Okay, so did you have another comment there?
No, I think this could go on for quite some time. You need to sit down and discuss it in more detail, one-on-one.
My only question any time an extension is asked is, what's it going to cost us? Are we paying for
she's
any
still
of her,
within her, budget.
Her flights or anything
she's
like that?
She's still within her budget.
Within our original agreement.
Of $100,000.
Yes.
But what's frightening is that if we go to January 22nd and what she's not able to answer the questions that we're going to ask, that we've been asking every time, and the bill is $100,000.
I think you're going to see from Joanne a commitment from the providers in writing. What that commitment is varies until, she gets that response from them. You are going to see her recommendation whether this project is feasible and whether we're moving forward.
Which is what we want.
Which is
what
you
want.
Exactly
what we want.
Well, we've seen it through to this point, so
right.
We need to see it through to that. To the end.
So that's let me ask, can you guys give me a sense of feel for, I know this is a bold question, your commitment towards this project?
Obviously $100,000 worth
in
2 years.
But I just get a lot of hesitation. A sense of hesitation moving forward. And
yeah.
I would like to know that I'm not wasting my time or Joanne's.
Yeah. So I've been very open in all of my opinions on this, and I've said from day one that there has to be skin in the game from elsewhere. If it's expected that the county is going to foot most to all of this bill, I'm out. I always have been.
I can get into that detail from the commitment, from the conversations, but I'd rather Joanne presented that.
Right, exactly, but you asked me.
Sure.
What my opinion was on that. So I'm just reiterating what I have said since day one. If we've got partners, if we've got people to jump in financially to help us with this, then I'm willing to go the distance and do what we need to do. But if we are solely responsible and we don't get any skin in from anybody else, I've been out since day one.
So it's been my understanding from the beginning that the commissioners would only support half.
That's what we said.
And that's been on the table since the beginning with all the providers.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's one of the questions in this request for more information.
Yes, it is.
What sort of commitment are these vendors willing to make?
Right.
What sort of repayment schedule? What, are we going to see interest on that?
Right.
What sort of terms?
Those are all
that, back to your question, Commissioner Rauhauser, that question was asked specifically in this request for more information. And we hope to get a better sense after their response.
The draft letter from Joanne was yes and no. There was no gray areas.
Okay.
You are committed, you are not.
You bet. Go ahead.
So Matt, based on what you just said, does that mean we can anticipate their commitment being in the form of money that we're going to loan them?
Initially, yeah, that is my understanding. It's essentially, we were described as the bank in some of these conversations. And so what sort of repayment terms are we talking about? 20-year, 30-year, 40-year? Are we talking 2-3%? Are we going to see all of that money repaid? Are we going to see only a partial amount? That's a big purpose, I guess, for this request for more information. Is what sort of money are these vendors willing to throw at it and then slowly repay the consortium over the course of 2 or 3 decades?
Okay, so being the elephant in the room, I guess the statement was just made, the commissioners originally anticipated that we would have 50% of the money put up by private enterprise and or grants towards this project, and we'd put the other 50%. So what are you saying is what you're saying now is we want a partner that will loan 50% of the money to so they can be a partner with us based on our money?
Essentially, yes. That's well, my
that's yeah, kind of what I thought.
Everything's gravy. We get $6 million in grants, and then it's $6 million funded by the consortium. Yes, the question was, are these vendors willing to repay that $6 million from the consortium, not the grant money?
Not the grant money.
Yes.
But I guess what I'm looking
they're
at...
They're paying back 50% of the pot of money that would go to build out the project. Whether that pot...
I need something more simple. Okay, hypothetically, $12 million project, mm-hmm. Okay? We would commit $6 million to it. We're looking for $6 million from other commitments, be they grant money or private enterprise. Mm-hmm. So... are you saying that other $6 million that we're not going that we're not responsible to committing to is going to come in the forms of money we're going to loan people to commit to us? I'm going to do simple math here.
Yeah.
Half the money. We give half the money. Where's the other half come from? Do we get half
grant
the money?
Money or the providers?
Okay, and the that providers are going to have cash money, not money that we loan to them in a payout.
So.
Because that's not real money if I'm loaning you the money.
Let me give this shit. Let's say we get $6 million from grant money.
Yeah.
The commission or the consortium has agreed to match that.
Right.
So the only amount of money the providers would have into it at the point of build out would be none, other than their commitment to pay back the $6 million to the consortium.
Okay.
And they've all verbally committed to that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They've all verbally said, this seems like a great project.
We still haven't got that in paper.
Right.
Yeah.
I need to oversimplify this again. My grandfather in the 30s sold his farm, and at the bottom of the sale bill, which I have in my shop, it listed all the hogs and horses and everything that were for sale. And it said, if you want credit, see your banker. Lunch will be served. Well, this is what I'm afraid we're talking about here, is they're wanting us to pay the whole thing, and then they will pay us back over 20 years or whatever, either in a one-year payment or whatever, and that was explained in the RFP.
Well, based on what Commissioner Noble just said,
unless it's changed.
We'll get paid back the half of the money we put in. The other half of money is still going to come from grants.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't get any indication that the vendors were willing to put up their own money for the project. I mean, it truly hinges on how much money we get from this. I mean, if we got to have
grant money
or all the grant money, okay, we might be in business. If we don't, I don't see the project.
Okay, here's my next question is, we just had our emergency guy, Jim, here. And we're talking about the grants and how long it's going to take and all of this kind of stuff. Are these grants all going to be in by the 22nd of January?
No,
we haven't got them even.
Well, then
grant
how can we make
in
a decision
yet?
In the
you
22nd?
You will be making your decision based on the grants being approved.
On receiving the grants.
Yes.
Just like we have all the other grants we're applying for.
Right.
Yeah, but we're not putting.
But if we don't get the grants, the deal's off.
The deal's off.
Yeah. Yes, it's that simple.
Good.
So basically, we got to get back to what we need to make that decision today. Today, we need to decide if we're fine with going till the 22nd. and then having this presented to us on the 22nd.
We don't really have much choice because we're not going to get it before then.
We're not going to get it before then. So your decision is to either drop it or move forward and go with the 22nd. Go ahead, Commissioner Brennan.
I'm going to throw a monkey wrench to the whole thing. I have no problem.
You already did.
I know. Well, that's because I'm looking forward to January. I have absolutely no problem delaying this decision.
Okay.
That's a given.
Okay.
But we keep talking about the 22nd.
Okay.
And that's where I want to throw the...
Let's talk about another date. Go ahead.
Well,
yeah, I understand. Let's go ahead. Yes, please.
Shall we...
We have to. We got to get this out.
Here's our problem, Commissioner Lack Vickery. The agenda is piling up for January. The agenda is piling up for January 22nd, and there's a potential problem trying to meet all the things on the agenda. The WCCA has their legislative conference in Cheyenne the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th. Normally, we would not have to be there till the afternoon of the 23rd, which leaves us the whole day open on January 22nd. However, there is the early in the afternoon a new commissioner's workshop, which would require you, if you attend, I think, to be there by 1 o'clock. So taking into consideration that it may reschedule our travel plans. So I guess what I'm trying to bring up is, number one, do you plan on going to that workshop? Do you plan on going to Cheyenne? Because we have to, based on your decision, we have to work our
agenda
for January 22nd out.
And I could probably answer that for you, Doug. If I were the seated commissioner or chairman, I would say, Doug, you will be going to attend that meeting on that day. That's what I would do.
So you are?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. But anyway, that is really crucial information that the WCCA gives new elected county commissioners.
New
commissioner training is just absolutely crucial.
What I would say this is when I ran on the commitment to the county, to the citizens in this county, and if you as the sitting commission deem it necessary that I as a new person show up there with my bells and whistles, I'll leave the bells and whistles here and just show up there. Now that is conditional upon the January snowfall, of course, and if interstate is shut down, probably I'll get up in the morning and say I can't get there from here, and then maybe we could get the governor jet to buzz us in.
Right.
To answer your question, yes,
we all do that. We all look at the weather, and we also leave a day early if we look like the weather is going to be bad.
So
which would mean
we're talking about
the afternoon of the 22nd.
Which means the afternoon of the 22nd.
Which means the afternoon of the
22nd. That's what I'm getting to.
Right.
And that leads to back to Doug. If we keep piling up the 22nd's agenda, then the rest of us are going to leave the morning of the 23rd, right?
I don't know.
Or move the meeting to the 21st.
That's what we're talking about.
Well, the
21st is a holiday.
21st is a holiday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We haven't approved it yet.
You know, no. What about moving Joanne's presentation into February? First or second meeting into February?
I'm sure she wouldn't mind.
I don't have more time if you gentlemen
are okay with it.
Because, boy, January 22nd is going to be a mess.
I think that is an appropriate
compromise there.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't mind moving into February. I just wanted to try to cover the 22nd because I know the 22nd is going to be here.
I think so. You would be wise not to schedule her on the 22nd. Go ahead.
The only thing I ask from the group and as looking forward is we all know Joanne's scheduling from day to day is super busy, so the sooner I can give her a notice of when to book the flights, because we all know how that is, the better.
Well, and it would be easier for her if it was in February. It gives her 2 more weeks.
And I can't speak for her. I'd have to say, hey,
I can't say it, yeah, I can't say on her schedule, but I'm just saying
she
for
could
flight,
be overseas at that
like
point.
That.
I don't know. So if you guys are flexible in the time Joanne can come, I do it does have to be at our schedule, one of our scheduled meetings.
Yes, it does.
So February I'm asking 5th. That of this group. Are you flexible and I can figure that out with her, or do you want me to have her call?
I think it's flexible, but it's not January.
So the other thing we're up against, and the reason we were hoping for January, was the grant writing applications. Mm. There was a step, that a window of opening there to help move forward.
Yeah. You know, it is within you gentlemen's purview also to shuffle who you are seeing on the 22nd.
So since I know what's on the agenda for the 22nd, you very easily could limit your day to noon and say that's what we're going to do. You could move your standing appointments unless there was something yes. critical that they needed to talk to you about, being road bridge maintenance, or
yes.
waste management, sorry, Shad.
Sheriff.
The sheriff, Mitchell. You could yep. move those guys to the next meeting.
Yep.
Take the morning to address the stuff that you critically need to do.
Which includes Joanne?
Which could. The other piece that you have already that we've put out is the consensus meeting.
You got the consensus meeting on
so
the 22nd.
So that will be a bit of something unless...
And that'll take time.
And you've
time.
Got... Well, that's going to take time, but you also have a timetable that goes with that mm-hmm. if you're trying to reach that
right.
April meeting.
Right.
So
that's got to be done.
You kind of have to do that. And the initial meeting might be short. It might be just, here are some projects, let's think about them and come back in February. Because you do have both meetings in February to talk about consensus before you have to have the application in. So it gives you a little bit of leeway. But I think you need to travel on Tuesday, no matter whether you got to, you know, whether the meeting's starting in the afternoon on Wednesday or not, just because
okay.
of the weather and all
that's
of
my
that.
Thought. And that's the other thing.
I think
thing.
You've got to travel Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
Commissioner-elect Dickery, we have to make reservations and arrangements. So I guess what we're saying is, in all likelihood, we're going to have to leave the 22nd.
Probably have a meeting till noon and then get on the road.
That should be the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the plan for the 22nd.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
no, later
can
than can that's, I throw another
yeah,
cog here?
A long day.
Sure. Well, Carrie, you're going to go with us.
Right.
Just don't even.
I would like to see it done.
Don't even. Just don't even.
Oh, I know.
He knows.
How are we going to get
well,
how, yeah, yeah, how do we get six people in
one person drive? Their personal car.
Well, yeah. But
get reimbursed for mileage.
I understand that, but boy. Okay. Sure.
Not as long as I'm here, Matt.
I understand. I understand.
Wait till after.
What is your last date, Mr. Chairman?
Wait till the first meeting in January. Go ahead, Tom.
Do we still have the minivan? How many does it hold?
Seven.
I don't care if I drive a minivan.
Going down a snowy road?
They'd handle fine. Minivans are good cars. People live in them.
I think I'll take my vehicle.
Take the minivan.
We'll get it figured out.
Oh, yes,
We'll get it figured out.
Okay.
What about the short-haul helicopter? Is it still available?
It's not a six-seater.
Yeah.
All right.
And
we need to move forward here. So
yes.
Do you want Joanne on the 22nd? Or do you want
I
to
think
move
with
her
the grant timelines and situations, that would be preferable
okay,
for
and
the
I'm
whole
gonna throw,
group and Joanne.
I'm going to throw that into you guys' court, and I'm going to let you guys make that decision.
I think if we could postpone Billy, Shad...
That's not a problem. We still have to do consensus.
Yeah, consensus. Yeah.
But you opened up a window by getting...
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
By moving your standing appointments.
So that's my perfect world scenario. If it don't work that way, so be it.
We can work on it. We can work
can
around
we move
that.
It to the 18th?
No. We'll work on the 22nd. Be out of here by noon.
Okay.
So can I call
yeah.
Joanne and let her know
that's
the schedule?
That's what Tom needs to know.
I got another potential wrinkle in my report that might influence either the 22nd or the 4th.
Well, why don't you jump to that?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Well, you can come back to me. Go right ahead. Let's get the irons out and get rid of the wrinkles.
Let's jump to that one.
Okay, old business. J.I. Opapo, each, I was at that meeting last week in Cheyenne, each entity is contributing $200,000 to Roosevelt Fire Rehab. This is not to the Hoback Ranch Service Improvement District. This is for fire rehab, which includes grazing allotment fence replacement. It includes providing for a place for those permittees to graze their livestock for the 2-year rest period that will be required. It can apply to fisheries rehab, a myriad of natural resource issues that, as a rough estimate, based on input from Forest Service, NRCS, Conservation District, about $1.7 million, potentially, $1.75 million. Mike Hinn will be here this afternoon to further give more explanation of that, but there will be numerous funding partners, including NRCS, J.I. Opapo, Forest Service, BLM. We will be asked to contribute some dollars to it, similar probably to what we did in the Fontenelle Fire. It's a big project with quite a lot of planning to go into it. But anyway, that was the only funding thing that came up with J.I. Opapo, when they approved that amount. The Forest Service guidebook that I've been working on for the last 2 years is almost ready. It's in its final approval stages with the solicitors in D.C. Hopefully we will have that first draft out at our Ledge conference, and maybe even get some printed copies out by legislative conference in March. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is USDA Rural Development Wyoming Chair Shad Rupp gave a lengthy presentation at our meeting, and most of it was about broadband. He did indicate that that very day he had got word in the approval of the farm bill, there's significant additional dollars available for rural communication, which include that broadband, or it can be. I cornered him, and Mac and I did a little bit after the meeting to try and get a sense of what this means. And bottom line, there's additional grant money to be made available, but the things that he emphasized to me was USDA has the technical ability to bring all these partners together, including private enterprise, the Wyoming Business Council, USDA grant money. But a caveat of all of this is there will be last mile provision of broadband. So what is not addressed through conduit and cable, there needs to be a plan ahead of time to provide that last mile availability through towers, cell towers, to where would give us assurance as commissioners, if we're going to put millions of dollars into this thing, that everybody can benefit. And that's been one of my worries about the whole thing, is we're going to spend an awful lot of money and just benefit a few businesses in the highly populated areas. But they did offer, if we want them to, I can call him and get one of their technical people that just does this thing to come and make a presentation to us that would explain how this could work. So I guess I would see it as an extension or an alternative maybe to what we're doing now. The best case would be to better clarify what we're going to do and who's going to pay for it. And they're available to come to a future meeting and talk to us about it, and to where we all maybe get a better understanding, being this is so complicated. And that's why I said maybe the February 4th meeting might be a time to do that, or maybe if we're going to do it at the same time as this other one, I don't have a feel for that, but they are available and they're willing to come and give us an explanation of how it might work. But some of the things we're encouraging about the last mile thing, about being more grant money, which could decrease the amount of county tax money that might have to go into this thing. So yeah. Something to think about.
I could see that would be good information perhaps, and I would see that happening after the meeting with Joanne.
Very well.
So just as a clarification, the work group has met with Shad twice. Mm-hmm. We've been working very closely with him, as so has Joanne and Heather, the consultant for writing the grants. And part of the process is the timeline we're after is if we can pick the provider that strengthens the grant significantly so that the RUD sees who we're working with, and we've picked the provider, possibly the governance program and the backing for all of it is there. That makes the grant way more appetizing for all them. And the business council said that they're not going to be the first ones out the door. They'll follow Chaz and his group. So yeah. It's a stepping stone, and there's a lot of timelines involved. So I guess just for information, we have been working closely with Shad.
So it would be appropriate to ask them to come and explain to all of us what their role in this could be.
Definitely.
My recommendation for you gentlemen, such as it is that you clear your schedule the morning of January 22nd of all the regular, push them off to the 4th. Do your consensus, do your meeting with Joanne, and then possibly schedule a meeting on the first meeting of February with Shad.
I think that's right.
Kind of makes sense.
Okay. Let's go with that then. Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
Okay. Mary?
Can I get my report?
Yes, please. I'll get to you. I just need to make sure that Mary, she's the one that's scheduling the appointments for the 22nd.
Yeah.
So okay. Joanne and the consensus on the 22nd. Okay. Move everybody else to the 4th.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And our Carrie, could you schedule with USDA?
Could you contact
somebody for
know if that's affirmed.
February 4th?
Yes.
And I'll do the same.
Okay. Excellent. Now, Commissioner Burnett, you have some old business?
Now that you ask. Yes, I might. As you know, Mac and Joel and I did attend the WCCA meeting in Casper, and I think it was quite an honor that the WCCA decided and appointed Commissioner Bousman as the state's representative to NACO.
Cool.
And I think that's not only good for the state, it's good for Sublette County, and it's good for us. So. I just wanted to mention that from WCCA.
Beautiful.
The other thing, just briefly, Wendy's in attendance. We did have a work session that consisted of Commissioner Rauhauser, myself, Wendy Bowman, and Tanya Hoffman from the Rural Healthcare Board, the town mayors from Marlton, Big Piney, and Pinedale, along with the public health nurse, Stephanie Lund, in addition to Don Walker, the administrator at the Retirement Center, and Lynn Bernard, who is the chairman of the Sublette Center Board. It was an informational meeting. It was very positive. The meeting centered around what the entire group thought was the needs, medical needs for Sublette County, and it went very well from that standpoint. There may be some follow-up to come, but just to report, that meeting went quite well.
Cool. Good work session.
Yes.
Excellent. Good. Anything further, Commissioner Burnett?
I have one thing. I think Wednesday night is your meeting, and I will be attending that meeting. It's in Big Piney, am I correct?
Yes.
Marlton. I will be attending that meeting just to listen, and if anyone asks, tell them how well the meeting did go. And just be kind of fun to go to one of those meetings and
really
be welcomed.
I've never
be welcome.
Okay. Anything further, Commissioner?
Nope.
Bowser? Commissioner Bousman, did you get everything in?
I believe that's.
Yeah, I'm not going to bore you with my details. We're going to adjourn for lunch. We'll be back at 1 o'clock.
Wait.
Yes.
Can I just take a quick minute?
Well, okay. Come on. All right. Go ahead.
First of all, before I forget, Mary, am I on the schedule for the 22nd to discuss the lease?
I have you on for the 8th.
8th?
Mm-hmm. Can we make it to 22nd? It'll be short. It'll be short.
Yeah, it won't take long at all.
Sure.
I promise.
Sure.
Strategy.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Why can't we start the commissioners' meeting at 8 o'clock?
Sure can.
Instead of breakfast?
Sure.
That day.
Save the donuts.
You won't have breakfast on the 22nd.
No.
Right.
We could start it that day, but that's to be decided in January.
Decided by the chairman.
That's right. Okay.
So okay. The other thing I have is at our November meeting, first meeting for our newly elected board, we did shut down the Bloomfield purchase, and our $100,000 escrow money is coming back our way.
Oh,
so good. With that being said, that's kind of a done deal for right now. And like Dr. Burnett said, we did address some priorities, some needs for healthcare in the county. And one of those, of course, is emergency after-hours coverage in the south end of the county. And so at our meeting tomorrow night, there are going to be a couple controversial things on the agenda, and that will be one of them. So we're going to discuss that tomorrow night to see what we can do about that. We're also going to discuss EMS scheduling. Of course, you all know Bill Johnson, and he's become concerned about the liabilities and, you know, with having our crews on 4896 and fatigue and that kind of thing, which is what the SafeTech report brought out. It was one of the things. The other thing is we're going to look at the fee schedule. We've had a lot of calls about why am I being charged this and why am I being charged that. And so we need to take a look at that as well and see what the surrounding counties, surrounding areas are doing for their fee schedule. So we can be, you know, it just bothers me to charge somebody $400 and some to come in and have your temperature taken. You know, so that's one other thing that we're going to address. I hope we can get through it all. But it's all kind of controversial, so we're just going to give our best shot at this meeting.
Little bits at a time.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many other things.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Over so many things. And then, of course, the critical access hospital is important. You know, we aren't discounting that at all, but we need to fix some things first. So
you know, we're thrilled that you're addressing them, Wendy.
Well,
thank you.
I hope it works. That's all I have.
And thanks for your report and your presence.
And
thank you for your report and your presence here today.
And you are welcome to come anytime.
We probably will have somebody. It might not be me, but we probably have somebody here.
Excellent.
At meetings to let you guys know what's going on with us.
Thank you. I appreciate that. As we adjourn, Doug, I'll ask you to get with Carrie because she's going to need to schedule you hotel rooms and registrations and things like that. For the
Mr. Chairman, we don't have any information on any of that yet.
Okay, well,
that's going to be a busy time.
Hey, in touch bases with Carrie.
They're probably working on it this week.
Yeah, touch bases with Carrie.
Because the legislation is going to be in session.
Yeah, we don't have any info on where's and when's, and we're just assuming it's
22nd, 23rd, 24th,
and those days.
Well, they sent out an invitation for the legislative dinner.
Yes, that
but
came from.
We know when the meeting is, and what we probably need to do now is get rooms in Little America.
Just get rooms for 22nd.
Are you meeting at Little America then?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure we are. We always do.
We'll get rooms there.
Yeah. Can we stay in the...
In the expensive ones?
Yes.
You know, actually...
If that's what you call it.
Actually, you guys could sleep in the new Suburban if you buy one.
Minivan.
There is a Marriott 6 in
here. No, it doesn't work. Sorry.
Okay, we're adjourned. We'll be back.
Okay.
Mary.
Okay.